Welcome to the Liberty Minute with Jared Hudson. Jared is a former U.S. Navy SEAL sniper and is the founder and current CEO of Covenant Rescue Group. Join in as Jared brings real-world experience and offers a fresh take on the topics that matter most.
Hey guys, Jared here, bringing you today's Liberty Minute. Today I'm going to talk about something that's kind of in the public right now. It's in mainstream media. It's across all really media outlets. And that's the situation with the Trump administration, the tariffs, and how that's impacting regular everyday citizens and also our country and other countries around the world. I pulled some notes and put them on my phone from some different articles I was reading. And what I was looking at as I'm trying to learn more about really tariffs and how they positively or negatively impact us as everyday regular citizens, but also how they impact our kids down the road. And I think that's the biggest thing that I was able to take away. April 2025 is where we're at now. And we know the Trump administration has implemented an expansive tariff strategy aimed at reshaping the trade dynamics within the United States and hopefully bolstering domestic manufacturing back to the way we were when we were producing a lot and addressing many national security concerns. The tariff actions, I kind of bullet pointed, are as follows. We have a broad tariff implementation. A lot of countries are involved in this. There's over $1.4 trillion worth of imports. Which significantly expands from the $380 billion targeted during the first term. We see there's high tariff rates. I mean, he's introduced rates reaching up to 145% on Chinese imports. Now, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but that's one of the major holdout countries where there's kind of a battle going on. I don't know if you'd call it a trade war. Some people have, but this has an average effective U.S. tariff rate rising to approximately 22%, and these levels haven't been seen since the beginning of the 1900s. So over 100 years ago is when we actually saw tariff rates rising this high. So nobody that's alive today has honestly experienced what we're seeing or experiencing now because of these tariff rates. Sector-specific investigations. So this is something that was very interesting that I didn't know about it, and I didn't hear much on it. I read an article on Reuters about it, and that's what I have pulled here. You can look this up if you want to, but Section 232 investigations into pharmaceutical and semiconductor imports because of national security concerns, potentially leading to tariffs of 10 to 25% in these sectors. I found that very interesting, especially coming out of COVID, you know, from the past, 6 years ago now, 5 years ago now, coming out of COVID, seeing what happened in the pharmaceutical world, where it came from, where the drugs were coming from to help us. And then also with what was going on with Taiwan and China and a lot of these semiconductors that we, you know, use in everyday life, even this phone right here, right? A lot of the things that we need to operate and live. Finally, this is a bullet point I noted, the Mar-a-Lago Accord, which developed a comprehensive trade and currency framework focusing on reducing trade deficits and addressing dollar overvaluation and linking our trade access to national security cooperation. I mean, I think these are all very important things. Probably the most interesting thing to me, and it might be out there a lot, I just am not well read on it, and that's the investigations into the pharmaceutical semiconductor imports. Obviously, we see China holding out on, you know, trying to battle it out with us on some of the high tariff rates. But with that being said, here are some of the claimed benefits from the White House. I got this from whitehouse.gov and then also some articles from Reuters. Economic growth projections. A 2024 analysis suggested that a global 10% tariff could potentially grow the U.S. economy by $728 billion and create 2.8 million jobs and increase real household incomes by 5.7%. So what does that look like to you individually if this is the case? If you're going to have a household income increased of a little over 5%, 5.7, we'll just say 5%, and you make $100,000 a year, that's increasing your income to $105,000 a year. So it's saying that you see some added benefit. However, I don't think that the study shows added benefit being right now in the moment. And that's one of our problems that we have, is because we are a microwave society. We're a society that wants it now, a fast food society. I better pull through a drive through, order what I want. And if I don't have my food in less than 10 minutes, I'm going to be upset. That's not what this is. You know, I like looking at this as like, you know, squats. If I do squats for the first time ever on a Monday, on Tuesday, and then definitely Wednesday, I don't ever want to do squats again because they hurt so bad. But if I continue to do that, they stop hurting as much and they start building and growing my legs in a positive way, especially for what I've done in the military and in law enforcement and what I continue to do. I used to have a buddy who used to say, hey, what's the best tool that you have to be a combat SEAL? And he said, it's right there on that squat rack. It's built with squats, because a good base makes you a good fighter. I used to think that was pretty funny, but it's true. And I believe that what's happening here is this is something that's needed to be done. And these tariffs are starting to build a good base. And it's going to hurt for a little while. But as it continues, I think that's where we see some of the increase in real household income, the increase in the economy, and the increase in jobs. The next would be national security enhancement. I pulled this from Reuters. And it's we're just trying to reduce our reliance on foreign production from critical sectors, like what we talked about earlier, pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, probably energy, right? Energy independence, that's a term, a hot term that we hear a lot in the news. And then finally, trade deficit reduction, sought to correct structural trade imbalances by imposing tariffs and reevaluating international economic relationships. So basically, we've all heard that, hey, that you need to pay your fair share. There's a lot of countries that are not paying their fair share, for lack of a better word. Well, we've heard Democrats say it forever when they talk about, you know, the rich need to pay their fair share. We're saying that as a country, as the U.S., hey, other people, other countries need to pay their fair share, because we cover a lot of cost, the majority of cost for the world. Criticism and economic impacts. These are just a few bullet points I pulled. I don't necessarily agree with all these, but one was interesting. This was the Penn Wharton budget model. And the Wharton budget model projects that tariffs could reduce U.S. GDP by 8% and wages by 7%, with middle-income household facing a $58,000 lifetime loss. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if that's true. The guys that probably put that budget model together are way smarter than me, especially when it comes to things like this. With that being said, I looked at what I've put into taxes and Social Security and all that I've paid into since I've, you know, been working and paying taxes when I was 18, is when I first started paying taxes. And not working for cash anymore for guys splitting wood, but I actually got a job that paid me and took tax out of my check. I've already lost well over $58,000 in a lifetime because of stupid decisions of politicians. So this is no surprise if this was true. And I think that I honestly think that a lot of these negatives, they're throwing out and leveling against the Trump administration because everybody thinks Trump's the big bad man, when in reality, what's being done is something that has to be done in order to get the U.S. where it needs to be financially, so that, yeah, it hurts for us now, but maybe it won't hurt near as bad for my kids, because this ship cannot continue to sail. But to note, if wages are decreased by 7%, again, let's use that $100,000 mark. 7% instead of $100,000 annually, you're making $93,000 annually, according to this budget model. Consumer price increases, I think everybody's seen that. We saw it big during the Biden administration. They're saying it's going to continue with imported goods, obviously, because there's tariffs on the imported goods affecting sectors like electronics, clothing. Household appliances and estimates, there are estimates suggesting that up to 60% of Amazon's products, that's going to kill me because my wife orders a lot of stuff from Amazon because of the tariff rates. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't necessarily felt it any more than we felt it over the last few years with Biden, just buying stuff at the grocery store. And actually, to be honest, personally, I felt a little bit of reprieve. We felt some at the fuel pump, and I feel like we felt some at the grocery store, but I could be incorrect. We just haven't, I haven't seen that necessarily, that sort of price hike. Obviously, retaliatory measures. We see China already doing that, retaliating with imposed retaliatory tariffs, which affects our exports. That being said, there's a lot of countries that have stepped up to the plate and they want to play the game. They're like, hey, we don't want this. We want to work with you. And so they've started making deals. Obviously, we see, there's a lot of market uncertainty, and everybody sees that. J.P. Morgan has been forecasting a potential recession within the next year, and obviously the Federal Reserve has lowered their 2025 growth forecast. I mean, that's all stuff that's pretty public, and it's out there. I've heard people talk about it. But I would say of all this, the biggest thing is China's retaliatory actions. That's one thing I want to cover real quickly that that I think will impact us. China's imposed additional tariffs of 10 to 15% on U.S. imports, including coal, liquefied natural gas, crude oil, agricultural machinery, and large engine vehicles. We get that from hklaw.com is where the team pulled that from. And I think that is something that puts us on the edge of if we're not in a trade war, we're there, we're back and forth, what it calls for us to send our product out. Export controls, obviously. We see that. I've got a buddy that does business and needs some of the critical minerals for what he does business out of China. And those minerals are tungsten, tellurium, bismuth, and a bunch of others that support various tech industries that we're in. A buddy of mine that's in the tech industry that needs that. And he said a lot of those export controls or export restrictions have negatively impacted his business. Obviously, we know about corporate sanctions. We've seen that with some of the larger U.S. companies, at least clothing companies, and then legal challenges with the World Trade Organization against the U.S. tariffs, seeking kind of a formal dispute resolution that China has filed. So I think all this is it's an exciting time to be living in, but it's definitely very volatile, to say the least. But even though we have all of this going on and we find ourselves sort of in a trade war with China, we have countries that have engaged with the U.S. to alleviate these tariff pressures that are being seen worldwide because of what Donald Trump and the Trump administration is doing, which I personally believe is positive. I think it's going to hurt for a while, but I believe it's positive, and I think that we're even early on seeing the positive behind it. An example would be Canada and Mexico. We see a temporary tariff pause that happened, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, where the U.S. agreed to pause certain tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico in exchange for commitments on border security and immigration. Now, I think that only lasted for 30 days, and I don't know where it's at now, but I think that is huge to see because that's one of the biggest things the American people talked about in this last presidential election was, what are we going to do about the border? Well, they use this tariff situation to start dealing with and fixing the border. I mean, I think it's brilliant, personally. And honestly, if there's anybody I trust in making a good deal that's going to benefit us or our people, it's Donald Trump. I mean, the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal. Vietnam, we see a similar sort of thing with them agreeing, right, on tariff reduction cooperation, but they've agreed to expedite deportations of Vietnamese nationals from the U.S. and reduce tariffs on American products, including liquefied natural gas and automobiles. That's huge for us. That's huge for our industry. Vietnam approved a pilot program for Starlink services. India, we have negotiations initiated in India following the imposition of a 27% reciprocal tariff by the U.S. India said they're willing to negotiate, and they refrained from retaliatory tariffs, unlike China. India proposed reducing tariffs on over half of U.S. imports contingent on reciprocal relief. That would be huge, too, because India obviously is they're a large country, and there's a lot that they could receive. And if we didn't have to pay, what was it, 27% tariff to import our products, that would be huge. Japan, we see the same thing. We've got a diplomatic engagement going on in Japan to discuss lifting our tariffs. Now they've been placed on Japanese exports, which is primarily cars and steel. But they didn't want to impose retaliatory tariffs. Trade deal in the United Kingdom. J.D. Vance went over and spoke with him, and he said that he believes that there is a good possibility or the potential of a U.S.-UK trade deal because the Trump administration, Donald Trump in particular, favorably views Britain, and the U.K. seeks to ease 25% tariffs on cars, steel, and aluminum. That was out of a couple of news articles. This one out of Reuters. Australia and Singapore, despite being subjected to 10% tariffs, both countries have increased U.S. military cooperation and defense spending. Australia in particular is seeking to mitigate exposure by strengthening ties with other trade partners. The only one we see, China, retaliatory measures. China's imposed additional tariffs on U.S. imports. We talked about that earlier. And they've added certain U.S. companies to unreliable entities list and filed complaints with WTO. So all of that going on and all of that being said, it's going to hurt. We're already feeling the hurt, but we've been feeling the hurt under the Biden administration for the last 4 years. We cannot continue the way we have always gone. We have to implement and put things in place that protect the U.S., the U.S. initiatives, and ultimately our communities and our families. It's going to hurt me now, and it's going to hurt my pocketbook now, and it's going to take some time. But I promise you, I believe that Donald Trump has a plan to make this easier for my kids and my grandkids because it's being done the right way as opposed to the backwards way that the politicians have been doing it over the last 50 or 60 years, at least my lifetime over the last 40 years. So I think that the tariffs that are being imposed, they hurt. So I'm not going to say that that's necessarily good, but just because there's friction doesn't mean it's bad. I believe that this is a good thing, and I believe that we're going to see the positive outcome of this good thing. It's just going to take a little more time. That's your Liberty Minute.